Their patterns, or templates, were stored in some central information bank, and when the time was ripe, they were manufactured from available raw materials, presumably the organometallic soup of the cylindrical sea. Such a feat is still somewhat beyond our own ability, but does not present any theoretical problems. We know that solid-state circuits, unlike living matter, can store information without loss for indefinite periods of time. So Rama is now in full operating condition, serving the purpose of its builders, whoever they may be. From our point of view, it does not matter if the Ramans themselves have all been dead for a million years, or whether they, too, will be recreated to join their servants at any moment. With or without them, their will is being done, and will continue to be done. Rama has now given proof that its propulsion system is still operating. In a few days, it will be at perihelion, where it would logically make any major orbit change. We may therefore soon have a new planet, moving through the solar space over which my government has jurisdiction. Or it may, of course, make additional changes and occupy a final orbit at any distance from the sun. It could even become a satellite of a major planet, such as Earth. We are therefore, fellow delegates, faced with a whole spectrum of possibilities, some of them very serious indeed. It is foolish to pretend that these creatures must be benevolent and will not interfere with us in any way. If they come to our solar system, they need something from it, even if it is only scientific knowledge. Consider how that knowledge may be used. What confronts us now is a technology hundreds, perhaps thousands of years in advance of ours, and a culture that may have no points of contact with ours whatsoever. We have been studying the behavior of the biological robots, the Biots, inside Rama, as shown in the films that Commander Norton has relayed, and we have arrived at certain conclusions, which we wish to pass on to you. On Mercury, we are perhaps unlucky in having no indigenous life forms to observe, but, of course, we have a complete record of terrestrial zoology, and we find in it one striking parallel with Rama. This is the termite colony. Like Rama, it is an artificial world with a controlled environment. Like Rama, its functioning depends upon a whole series of specialized biological machines. Workers, builders, farmers, warriors. And although we do not know if Rama has a queen, I suggest that the island known as New York serves a similar function. Now, it would obviously be absurd to press this analogy too far. It breaks down at many points. But I put it to you for this reason. What degree of cooperation or understanding would ever be possible between human beings and termites? When there is no conflict of interest, we tolerate each other. But when either needs the other's territory or resources, no quarter is given. Thanks to our technology and our intelligence, we can always win if we are sufficiently determined. But sometimes it is not easy, and there are those who believe that final victory may go to the termites. With this in mind, consider now the appalling threat that Rama may, I do not say must, present to human civilization. What steps have we taken to counter it if the worst eventuality should occur? None whatsoever. We have merely talked and speculated and written learned papers. Well, my fellow delegates, Mercury has done more than this. Acting under the provisions of Clause 34 of the Space Treaty of 2057, which entitles us to take any steps necessary to protect the integrity of our solar space, we have dispatched a high-energy nuclear device to Rama. we will indeed be happy if we never have to utilize it. But now, at least, we are not helpless, as we were before. It may be argued that we have acted unilaterally, without prior consultation. We admit that. But does anyone here imagine, with all respect, Mr. President, that we could have secured any such agreement in the time available? We consider that we are acting not only for ourselves, but also for the whole human race. All future generations may one day thank us for our foresight. We recognize that it would be a tragedy, even a crime, to destroy an artifact as wonderful as Rama. If there is any way in which this can be avoided without risk to humanity, we will be very happy to hear of it. We have not found one, and time is running out. Within the next few days, before Rama reaches perihelion, the choice will have to be made. We will, of course, give ample warning to Endeavor, but we would advise Commander Norton always to be ready to leave at an hour's notice. It is conceivable that Rama may undergo further dramatic transformations at any moment. That is all, Mr. President, fellow delegates. I thank you for your attention. I look forward to your cooperation.